Chapter 81. Late at night, with everyone asleep, I'd walk the house, checking the doors and windows. Then I'd sit on the balcony or the edge of the garden and roll a joint. The house looked down onto a valley across a hillside thick with frogs. I'd listen to their late night song, smell the flower-scented air. The frogs, the smells, the trees, the big starry sky, it all brought me back to Botswana. But maybe it's not just the flora and fauna, I thought. Maybe it's more the feeling of safety, of life. We were able to get a lot of work done, and we had a lot of work to do. We launched a foundation. I reconnected with my contacts in World Conservation. Things were getting under control. And then the press somehow learned we were at Tyler's. It had taken 6 weeks, exactly. Same as Canada. Suddenly there were drones overhead, paps across the street, perhaps across the valley. They cut the fence. We patched the fence. We stopped venturing outside. The garden was in full view of the paps. Next came the helicopters. Sadly, we were going to have to flee. We'd need to find somewhere new, and soon, and that would mean paying for our own security. I went back to my notebooks, started contacting security firms again. Meg and I sat down to work out exactly how much security we could afford, and how much house. Exactly then, while we were revising our budget, word came down. Pa was cutting me off. I recognised the absurdity, a man in his mid-30s being financially cut off by his father. But Pa wasn't merely my father. He was my boss, my banker, my comptroller, keeper of the purse strings throughout my adult life. Cutting me off, therefore, meant firing me, without redundancy pay, and casting me into the void after a lifetime of service. More, after a lifetime of rendering me otherwise unemployable. I felt fatted for the slaughter, suckled like a veal calf. I'd never asked to be financially dependent on Pa. I'd been forced into this surreal state, this unending Truman show, in which I almost never carried money, never owned a car, never carried a house key, never once ordered anything online, never received a single box from Amazon, almost never travelled on the underground. Once, at Eton, on a theatre trip. Sponge, the papers called me. But there's a big difference between being a sponge and being prohibited from learning independence. After decades of being rigorously and systematically infantilized, I was now abruptly abandoned and mocked for being immature. For not standing on my own 2 feet. The question of how to pay for a home and security kept Meg and me awake at nights. We could always spend some of my inheritance from Mummy, we said, but that felt like a last resort. We saw that money as belonging to Archie and his sibling. It was then that we learned Meg was pregnant.